Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And today we're going to be talking about a recap of the Clippers' weekend, last couple of regular season games. Of course, it's a back-to-back for the Clippers. We'll talk about what we liked from that one as well as what we didn't like. And then it's Twitter Monday. Normally, we take your questions every single Monday over here at Locked On Clips. We're doing it a day early to make room for the play-in preview, which we'll have for you tomorrow. And then also we're going to talk about Kawhi, the 4-9 theory, kind of dead. We'll talk about any possibility of him returning, as well as just some play-in talk. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome to the Clippers Weekend Update. We are Locked On Clippers, coming at you 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Make us your first listen. Today's episode brought to you by Bet Online. They have you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Will the Clippers finish 42-40, the 11th season of over 500 basketball, the longest stretch in the league, which is pretty incredible, all things considered, when it comes to the Clippers. They won the game versus the Thunder on Sunday by 50 points, which not only was the largest margin of victory of all time for the Clippers, it gets our point differential on the season to +2, which is great to see. So that's a little something we can hang our hat on. So it was a weird weekend. The Clippers go 2-0. Will, what did we like from this weird weekend?
Well, I think it was great to see Paul George versus the Kings on Saturday. He had 23, 8, and 12. This was a tie for a career high in assists for him. And I think overall, just something to watch is the playmaking that he is able to bring to the table. It's something, you know, that we've known about. We've talked about really, you know, since Ty Lue has been here. And even before, like having him have more sort of on ball facilitating type of duties. But we've just seen it. I feel like I don't know what the right word is. Maybe just him watching the game from a different angle or something, or it could also very well be due to the level of competition that he's played since he's been back. But we've seen it look really, really good. And I think that him having that sort of, you know, like next level, it just helps you in sort of, you know, what we're going to continue to talk about as we preview this play-in game, of like just being able to deliver that one, you know, really, really good punch that you need to make it to the playoffs if you're the Clippers in this scenario.
For sure. He went 6-9 from three, which was awesome too. So the outside shooting is very much there. We're going to get into the inside shooting in a sec, but Norm Powell also looks ready to go. 20 points versus the Kings. Are we worried about the conditioning at all? Or do we think, like, I kind of wanted him to play a little bit on Sunday against whatever the hell the Thunder were trotting out there, but it seems like the team's not worried about it. So I'm trying not to be worried about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a great point. Like, if the team isn't worried about it, then maybe it's something that we don't need to be concerned about. It is something that I will be thinking about. And I think, like, physically, he does maybe look a little bit different than we've seen him look at game ready points at other times in his career. But overall, it's probably not a major thing to worry about. I would have loved to have seen him just get a little bit of run, even against this, you know, super 10-day hardship shell of a team that the Thunder are rolling out there. But hey, you know, like I think that you might be onto something, and that is a sign that, you know, the organization and the coaching staff is not as worried about it. Another thing that we liked, I mean, Amir Coffey, a career high on Sunday. He scored 35 points, 59% shooting. He shot 7 of 10 from 3, which that number of attempts, that's like sort of what he was doing there in the G League.
Oh, yeah.
For a while, they were really having him hoist him up there. He also added 13 boards. So, you know, Coffey was a guy that we talked about a couple of games back, like maybe not against the Suns, maybe not taking as full advantage of those playing minutes as we would have liked to see. So it's a nice return to form for Coffey. What didn't we like from this weekend?
So out of the gate, watching the Thunder run a six-man rotation the last game of the season versus even the shell of the Clippers team, it felt like weirdly unsafe in terms of like player safety. Like, it's just, it's a horrible product to watch. I know it's the last game of the season and things like that, but I mean, a 50-point win the last... No, it's bad basketball. But from an actual kind of Clippers perspective, Luke Kennard's hamstring, how worried about this? He pulled up in the third quarter versus the Thunder. He didn't return. He did have to take that game off recently for it. He's been hitting his stride well. As soon as Paul George came back, we obviously saw what happened with the gravity around him and getting Luke open shots. But scale of 1 to 10, where's your concern level with this for Luke heading into this play-in game?
I mean, it's going to be an issue. Yeah, if the thing is if it's even minorly present, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Anything that's going to change, you know, how he's able to move, especially like getting shots in motion, and just, you know, lower body stuff and how it will affect the trajectory of your shot overall. Yeah, that's a big deal. So I think that he's a little bit less of a necessity in the same way that he was during the regular season with the return of Paul George and Norm, obviously. But he is still like just such a big piece of that offense and also just like such a big continuity piece for so much of that second unit that not having him at 100%, I got to be honest with you, I just don't see a situation in which that's not a detriment to that unit.
Yeah, it's a good call. We hope everything's good with Luke. Might have been precautionary on not bringing him back because obviously, as we've kind of alluded to, the game was pretty out of hand. Heading into this game on Tuesday, how are we feeling about Morris's defense? We're going to have obviously a bigger preview for, you know, kind of the Tuesday morning show, but he seems to be kind of last in the pecking order of the wings in terms of defensive ability right now. You look at PG, Batum, Rocco, and then Morris, and that's not a knock on Morris. Those three other guys are really good, but if Morris is going to be starting, it feels like the defense, and kind of him and Reggie too, needs to get locked in a little bit more, or something just a little different.
I agree. This is something that we kind of talked about and saw last season. I thought that he, you know, during the regular season, there definitely were ups and downs as far as like what he had in the tank to be able to give as a commitment on defense during the regular season. Mm-hmm. But I thought that, you know, largely we saw a pretty sharp turn in, you know, both effort and just, you know, productivity on that end of the floor in the playoffs. So I'm hoping that he's able to get back to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, can't really mince words here amongst the rest of these wings that he is probably the weakest link as a defender in terms of, you know, the pecking order of these other sort of wings. And speaking of wings, Paul George, you know, we talked about the playmaking has been great. He's been finding his stride a little bit more from three. But what's going on with Paul George and twos?
It's very weird, right? So since his return, he's put up some really interesting numbers from the two-point territory. He's gone 4 of 11, 5 of 11, 0 for 10, and then two stretches of 2 for 5. He's been getting kind of a friendly whistle, which has been great and will really help the Clippers out in the playoffs, but... Yeah, man, I don't know how worried I am about this because it's been, you know, five games, so it'll hopefully get a little bit better, against the Wolves. But we're going to need him to be efficient on the inside in kind of the shrunk down version of basketball that is the playoffs and play-in.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think that it's still five games, not a lot of runway, as we like to say on this show.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that he hasn't like completely found his rhythm there. But you know, you look at like sort of an all chips on the table, type of scenario that we're looking to walk into on Tuesday. And it's going to be very important for him to be efficient.
Yes. We're going to have a big breakdown for you guys Tuesday morning of this, matchup with the Timberwolves coming up. We're answering your fantastic Twitter Monday questions this week. But first, we got to give a shout out to Built Bar. They have so many delicious flavors. There's something for everybody. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. They got coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. They also have Built Puffs, which are fantastic. The first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, they're marshmallowy, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Not just a protein bar, a protein treat that comes in churro, coconut, and banana cream pride. Just great flavors kind of all around from Built Bar. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. One more time, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
All right. So we're back and we're talking Twitter Monday. Whoa. Normally we take your questions on Monday for the show on Tuesday. Today we took your questions on a Sunday for the show on Monday so we can have plenty of time to preview the play-in game versus the Timberwolves. Charles, what did the people want to know?
We got a lot of stuff. So we got to, first of all, we got to give a shout to Stu Quinn. He said, unfortunately, we didn't hit on the over-under. But he said, given injuries, he's perfectly satisfied with how this regular season went. I could not agree more with him. But he wants to know, if you knew the injury situation coming into this season, what should the over-under have been for the Clippers? 32.5? Also, what should Stu Quinn's next bet be? This is a great question, because I think if Vegas knew that, you know, they knew Kawhi was going to be out, they didn't know Paul George was going to miss that much time in the trades, what do you think the Clippers over-under would have been with that much Paul George absence? I think it would have been around 36.
I was going to say sub 35.
Okay. Yeah.
I think like I think 35, 34.5, somewhere around there probably.
That's a good call. What should Stu Quinn's next Clippers bet be? I mean, finals? Finals champs?
Yeah, I think maybe just go all in on next year. Yeah,
hell no. Yeah, or I meant this year. Either one, dude. Like, put some money in. I think next year, Stu, if you go, I would take the over for the wins and then take the championship odds as well. And then, so we got a bunch of questions kind of about Norm Powell and lineups and things like that for the play-in. Clips Fear asks, what should the Clippers do in regards to Powell? Should he start or come off the bench? Clips Fear leans that Norm Powell should start. Will, where are you at with this?
So I can see it either way. Look, I've kind of talked about on this show how, like, I don't necessarily really care who the starters, quote unquote, are.
Sure.
I'm kind of the mindset where I think of where I'm at right now. I like Paul George and at least one, if not two other wings and Zoo. Then so if you're going Paul George plus only one other wing, I think sure you can, there's room for Norm next to Reggie there in the backcourt. And if not, have him come off the bench. I kind of like the idea of having Norm come off the bench. But you know, that doesn't have to be permanent in any sort of sense. I just think like Powell, you know, getting some easy reps, especially as, you know, he has only played a couple of games. True. Now with the Clippers. He's played, five total games with the Clippers. I think that it kind of makes sense to get him some of those sort of ramp up minutes in that sense. And then you can still, you know, depending on how things are going, use him in closing lineups, whether to close halves or quarters or however you want to, you know, sort of distribute those minutes. But yeah, so I guess I actually do lean bench, sort of to contradict Clip's fear here. But I mean, honestly, like, I don't give a damn necessarily about who's starting, especially while we're down Kawhi. I think that it has to be sort of, you know, matchup determinant, and then just, you know, be ready to make changes as needed. So I can definitely hear the argument to have him start as well.
I'm really hoping that we see Ty Lue throw a complete curveball kind of in terms of the subs in this play-in game. So as he's talked about, right, like, we haven't been playing what we're practicing. We've been kind of, especially in this last game against whatever the Thunder were doing out there. We've kind of been, you know, hiding our cards a bit. I would love it, honestly, if, and we talked about this with Justin Russo when we were at the game on Saturday, of the first two subs being, you take Reggie and Zoo out and you bring in Norm and Rocco. You kind of give them that small ball lineup right away on Tuesday, because Tuesday's a game 7, as far as I see it. Like, the Clippers' best shot at getting an upset in the first round comes if they have to play less basketball and if they can match up against the Grizzlies. So I think in that sense, I think Powell should come off the bench, but who knows what's going to be, you know, in terms of like the leash for the first subs that Ty Lue runs out there. So I'm really excited. Clippers fans should be really excited for what we're going to see from Ty Lue, because we're going to see all new stuff. Because think about how little time, you know, Covington, Norm, and Paul George have had together. We're bound to see some new stuff and sets like that. So I'm excited for that. And I think Norm's effective no matter what he does, which has been great, which we've seen. So like you said, it's kind of a win-win. Keenan Albon asks, Ty Lue said earlier this season that Kawhi wouldn't return unless he was able to get time before the playoffs. Do we have any reason to believe that Kawhi or the team has changed their mind on that? So Keenan, actually, a couple weeks ago, Ty Lue kind of basically did change his mind on this. He said like it wasn't his preferred thing to do, but if Kawhi was going to come back, it would be fine if it happened in the playoffs. We know that's how Ty Lue feels. We know that it kind of seems to be Kawhi Leonard's decision on if he comes back or not. Will, where are you at? And we're going to talk a little bit more kind of the death of the 4-9 theory, but where are you at on Kawhi's like coming back just straight into playoff basketball?
I mean, I got to be honest, that seems like a pretty heavy task.
It's scary.
But, you know, it depends on, you know, how far things have progressed behind closed doors. You know, how far, if he was to return, like, how much have they seen of him? How much, you know, 5-on-5 has there been? How much of an understanding is there that he is, you know, at a capacity that he feels happy enough with to return? Because, I mean, I think if there's anything we know about Kawhi, he is only going to return if he feels that he is 100% ready to do so. Yeah. You know, there's not going to be any pressuring him, or there's not going to be any like, oh, well, you know, they made it to the second round without me, so I guess maybe I'll try to come back. Like, no, there's not going to be any of that. Like, if he feels ready to go, then he's going to go. So I do think in that regard, it does maybe change for me, like, I guess what I would have liked to have seen if he was to return in terms of some sort of, you know, regular season ramp up. But yeah, I mean, clearly the, you know, Ty Lue and the team have walked back what they originally said about wanting to have, you know, I feel like originally what we were told was something along the lines of like 10 regular season games.
Yeah, it was a lot.
which, you know, didn't even happen for Paul George. So it makes sense that they would walk that back. But I think that, I mean, it would be worrisome to have him come back into like just a playoff sort of scenario and minutes load immediately. But, you know, the only scenario in which this is happening is the scenario in which Kawhi is 100% ready in his mind to come back. So that maybe alleviates some of that concern for me.
That's a good call. Clipcast, another fantastic Clippers podcast, asks, does the fact that Ty Lue's Clippers have gone down 0-2 every playoff series terrify you in a potential two-game play-in series? So basically kind of two game sevens here. I don't think it does. I mean, like, it's, I don't think Ty Lue coaches a one game kind of must win the same way he coaches a series. Ty Lue, it does make me nervous in the series when you go down 0-2, of course, because that's just scary anytime. I mean, how many, you know, I'm tired of going down 0-2 to the Mavs for sure. But in a one game thing like this against the Wolves, I don't think it does. This doesn't worry me at all. I'm also kind of trying to find, I'm a little hard pressed to find what does worry me from a Ty Lue perspective, just because we haven't really seen what we've been practicing yet. But I think I'm peacefully, you know, kind of zenned out about this whole record scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just a different team and a different scenario and just a whole nother thing. I mean, we talked about it last season, but I thought that team, you know, as great as they were, and, you know, they did have their struggles and whatnot throughout the regular season. That team, I thought at times could be a little slow to start.
Sure. Right,
and not just even in terms of a season, but in or a series, but in terms of games. And I think that, you know, there's a, I don't want to say mentality, because that makes it sound like there's like something fundamentally wrong or something, but there was a little bit of a room for leeway that I think that sometimes, I think that it can be good in terms of like playing loose and like playing free and everyone kind of like, you know, communicating and not being on each other's backs. But I think at times, also, you know, like it can make you not bring out your best until maybe your back is at against the wall.
Absolutely.
And this team, you know, even with the return of Paul George and Norm, you know, they're both, it's still been such a small sample size that I would still say this team is still kind of in the same position that they were in before these guys returned, in that, you know, essentially every game is your back against the wall because this team does not have, you know, the sort of margin for error as that other team did. And not only that, but I feel like all the pieces around our stars understand a little bit better how they are supposed to be contributing and stepping up in these moments, especially if we're not getting, you know, like the highlight sort of things that we need from our you know, our top tier key contributors. So this is a completely different playoff team, you know, than it was last year. And I know that there's a lot of the same names, same coach, you know, a lot of similarities. But just the way that this team has had to play all season, I think is going to foster a very different type of playoff mentality coming into this season's this postseason.
I couldn't agree more. Coming up, we're going to talk a little more about that Kawhi return situation. Pat Bev had an interesting end to his season. And then a fun question about soon to be fun employed Frank Vogel. But first, Stu Quinn was talking about betting. And if you want to play some bets, you got to check out betonline.net. It is your number one source for all betting stats and sports info. Some pretty good odds on the Clippers to win the championship if you feel like risking a couple ducats over there. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of Major League Baseball. It is back. Bet on the Dodgers. Let's do it. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
All right, so we're talking shavings now. Shavings, every single episode, we like to end our shows on this. It's kind of just where we wrap up everything else around the Clippers sphere, around sort of the NBA universe. Chuck, lead us in. What's shaking around in the shavings drawer?
Well, it is unfortunately, I think I'm downgrading from a tinfoil hat now to maybe just, you know, a tinfoil, I don't know, timepiece, glasses, something a little less prominent than a hat, because 4-9 has now come and gone, and Kawhi Leonard did not return, unfortunately. So the 4-9 theory has been debunked due to time. And at this point, you know, we just talked about a little bit, it feels, you know, he hasn't been ruled out, of course, because it is Kawhi Leonard. But, I mean, well, just scale of 1 to 10 on the he's coming back for sure to he's not coming back, I think I'm at about a 3.
Yeah, I'm probably at a 2. Like,
it just doesn't feel like it's going to happen. Ty Lue kind of talked about it a little bit. He hasn't, you know, done anything. He hasn't been cleared for kind of one-on-one, but also I'm not sure how much to believe of that because Ty Lue has apparently never seen Kawhi Leonard at all this year based on his practice interviews and things like that. So are you disappointed? Are we going to be disappointed if Kawhi doesn't come back? And like, you know what I mean? Cause it's hard to not be a little bummed out, but it's also not the biggest surprise.
Yeah, it's not the biggest surprise. Yeah. You know, I thought coming into the season that we would be, you know, we would be having to ride this one out without Kawhi. Mm-hmm. And I think that is, I should have probably stuck to my guns a little bit more. You know, my tinfoil headwear got the better of me. And I was definitely like really excited for the possibility, especially just like given all the little breadcrumbs that we were given.
Oh,
sort of like
little breadcrumbs. We were getting whole croutons from the team. It was insane.
Yeah. So, you know, that has definitely affected it going up and down, but where I'm sitting right now, like I just don't know how you work a player like that back in, not until the playoffs. And I think, you know, obviously if anyone could do it, it would be Kawhi.
Sure. Of course.
I don't know that, you know, I've talked about this before, like the door, like the opening of the door, just getting smaller and smaller with every passing day. And now it's like, I think light is maybe barely coming through the crack of that open door.
Yeah. We just got to hope for the Shams bomb or the Woj, whoever's going to get it, but we'll do our best to keep you informed here. And now this part of shavings is kind of tertiary Clipper stuff related. Will, let's talk about Patrick Beverley's end to the season.
Yeah, so he had a nice little finish around the rim. He had something to say to the ref, and then, you know, and like kind of classic Pat Beverley fashion, continued to have stuff to say. He got ejected. Look, the Timberwolves were trailing the Bulls by more than 20.
Sure.
You know, he just kind of kept going off, and that was kind of that. I think that, you know, we've seen, you know, we've been on sort of the unfortunate end of some of those sort of like Pat Bev things before. Mm-hmm. But it kind of has me wondering, like, do we see the Clippers try to sort of like appeal to the more negative parts of Patrick Beverley's game, or appeal to sort of like, not the ego, but like sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah, I'm following. I see what you're saying here.
I just think if there's anyone that knows how to do it, like, this is a team that probably has the tools and, you know, the background information to sort of push Patrick Beverley's buttons.
I like that idea. I also think what's difficult with that is a double-edged sword, because if that works, that works for your team, sure, Pat Bev's gone from the game, or he has to alter how he plays. He can't be as physical, things like that. He can't jaw as much. But if it doesn't work and he catches fire and, you know, he's grabbing a couple of those extra offensive rebounds that we have seen him grab for the Clippers before, or he hits a couple extra threes and he's getting everyone else fired up, like, the vibes are contagious with Pat Bev. So I think if we can see a little window, I wouldn't be mad at that at all. Who do you see instigating it? Who do we think would be the prime? I think it'd be funny if we had Zoo be like, Zoo, you got to be the jar at Pat Bev because they're friends. But I don't know. Who do you want to see out there maybe do it?
I could see Zoo. I could see Batum. I could see Paul.
Oh, okay.
I think that there's a couple guys, and it would be, you know, like, it would be, I mean, obviously there would be like tactical implications as to why to do it,
sure,
but I still think it would come from a place of mutual respect.
Oh, he would know what we were trying to do immediately as well, which is very funny. All right. Now, Frank Vogel seemingly, didn't see the tweets, but is just going to be fired, after a disappointing season for the team across the hall. How are we feeling about Frank Vogel becoming an assistant coach next season for the Clips? I'm all in on this idea. I'm going to be honest. Get him here for the defense. Why not? Assistant coach?
I think we just got a good, thing going right now.
You don't want to mess with the vibes.
I'm kind of good with it.
That's fair. I would like it from the man will be full of spite. And no one coaches better than a coach full of spite. So I think that would be interesting for sure. And then what happened with Doc Rivers? Because I saw his name flying around Twitter and people are not excited over in Philly, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, they got the win over the Pistons. He was kind of defending some of his usage of DeAndre Jordan.
We're in a time machine?
Yeah, look, I mean, exactly. It's just kind of interesting because I do kind of feel like, and I didn't always feel this way. I do firmly feel that it's like within, you know, from the last season that he spent with the Clippers until now, Doc Rivers has kind of entered the quote-unquote no notes portion of his career, where it just does truly seem like if there's like any sort of like adverse reaction. Yeah, that it's kind of met. It's just kind of met with like an old man, you know, yelling at kids on the yard type of response.
Yeah, he gives the, and, like, you wouldn't ask Greg Popovich these kind of questions, and you're like, exactly. Well, sure, but he doesn't make these kind of mistakes.
yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know if this makes you worry about, you know, the Sixers, especially if you're a Philly fan. One thing that's maybe compounding your worry is Matisse Thybulle is not going to be able to be active on any of the road games versus Toronto in the first round due to his vaccination status. He apparently had one of the Pfizer shots, not two.
He got a half.
And he cited holistic medicine and sort of his family's practices as kind of being the reason. And he didn't think like the benefits of the vaccine necessarily outweighed the
day and a half you got to sit out after it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure.
So that's going to be interesting for them defensively.
I'm sure Doc has some fantastic adjustments and backup plans that he's worked on all season for the 76ers for this. So we'll see what happens with that. Tuesday's episode, this is going to be a fun one. We're doing a preview With Locked On Wolves, so we're going to get a little both sides there, which should be a good time. And of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, hopefully an update on Luke Kennard's hamstring. Will, if someone wanted to review this podcast, where could they possibly do that?
So you can leave a rating or review for us over on Apple Podcasts or the podcast app on your mobile device. You can also leave a rating or review over on Spotify. They've kind of just introduced this feature, so if you could boost our numbers over there, we'd really appreciate it. You can listen to us on either one of those platforms. You can also listen to us on Google Podcasts. We're on Amazon Music. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. Basically, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can listen to the show. We mentioned it to you up top, but we do come at you Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific. Hey, 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 it's playing time. Stay with us.
Please stay with us. We will be there for the play-in and the playoffs. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. And as always, we appreciate you.